Welcome to the Outsource Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, step right up. This is the Outsource Podcast. I'm your host of this talky riff. My esteemed colleagues with me today are...
I'm not doing that. I'm just going to say Matt. Hell no,
what,
I'm
what?
Matt, huh?
This is how people talked in the 20s.
No.
Michael Keyes.
The build-up to that was palpable. And Mike Gertner, back.
Yes, that's right. Full cast? No, I don't know. I'm sick of that.
You talk like a 30s gangster. See? Yeah.
Oh, like, I gotcha. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Save that one.
Say it, yeah, next week.
Oh, not doing it now.
Herbert Daring. You kind of sound like Herbert Dashworth.
Herbert Daring Dashworth.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Motherfucking.
The radio show.
That's how they all sound, man. Those old-timey productions.
I love that stuff.
It must be like a filter. It's just what happens when you talk into like
to an old timey
radio.
Giant microphone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like
it's like the hubcap size microphone. Yeah,
as big as your face.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
All right. So, yes, this is Outsource Podcast. And we're gonna be doing we're like this is just an evolving, growing it's a child. It's, you know, changing. It's going through its adolescence.
It's like an anteater.
That's exactly what I was thinking. This podcast is like an anteater.
You have to flesh that out for me a little bit.
Yep.
Oh, it took the anteater 2 million years to evolve its tongue.
It took 2 million years?
Yeah, or 200. I don't know. Some zeros probably in there.
Roughly.
Probably more than 200.
We're like that.
We're like, okay. Eventually we'll develop a rough prickly tongue that we can...
It's just science. It's just the next logical step.
And if by ants you mean... metaphors. We're gonna starve. Anyway, we're gonna start out, change the intro scene up. I think last week we said we're gonna do some advertisements. No, sponsors. Yeah, so Mike just flipped me off. Or something. Two in the hole, I think he said. I don't know what that means. Anyway.
We're sponsored by inappropriate hand gestures.
Yeah, this week, sponsored by Walgreens. That's where we bought all our food. And
it's good.
Sorry. Do they have a slogan?
Walgreens?
Yeah, the Pharmacy America
Don't
Trust.
Don't steal our shit.
Please.
Yeah, and now we're going to do rate the show from last week or 2 weeks ago. So everybody can kind of... say how they felt, how they feel about last episode. Get those, express yourself, you know.
Feelings.
I guess I'll start out and I'll say that I'd like to give last week's show a rent it.
Are we at the movies now?
So rent it. I mean, don't invest that much. Just try it out, see if you like it, and return it.
Return our podcast to
us. If I can ever figure out the... compression and I can make it louder, maybe I'd feel a little bit better about that and give it, you know, an own it
or a own it. Two of it.
Oh wow,
just in case you lose one.
Yeah,
be prepared.
Where's the see it coming to all that?
What,
there's a rent it, see it, and a own it.
Well, wouldn't you see it if
What's
you rented
see it?
I see it's like going to the movie
going
theater.
To the movie.
Oh, I'm talking
out.
Like games, like,
yeah, I know,
you know, like rent the game, buy the game,
and sit at Best Buy and just
don't
play it.
Sound like you were talking about
at
the movies.
Kids
no,
away.
I wasn't.
Yeah, that
about the
that should be one. That'd like be like the bottom one. Yeah.
Which one?
Camp at Best Buy and just play it on the display.
Oh, but the bottom one is don't play it.
Yeah, well, I know. That's what we were saying.
That's the next notch up.
Oh,
yeah.
Who's that? Kelly Clarkson, guest starring.
What just happened?
Anybody else have any some clever snarky comments they want to make about our last podcast?
I loved it. I love that I am somehow referenced in all the podcasts that I am not at.
How are you referenced?
Like every time. Well, the first one I missed, yeah, it's always Griff. The first one I missed, he mentioned me.
It's because I care about people.
Yeah.
Except for Matt.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm okay with that.
I left those muffins for you. I mean those cupcakes.
I think our podcast was kid tested, but not quite mother approved.
I would say pretty good.
That's a very accurate assessment. Yeah. Was it a choking hazard as well?
Might be. Health risks are involved.
Do not consume if taking birth control or something.
Do not drink and listen.
That's good.
Or drink heavily and then listen. It'll make more sense that way.
Do you have a rating? Would you like to rate the show, Mike Keys?
Yes.
Would you like to share that rating?
Okay.
I mean, you can keep it to yourself, too.
If you're self-conscious.
I don't want to pressure you. If I had to give it a rating between a scale of a 15 and 30, I would probably give it a 17 because I fell asleep during it.
Yes, you did.
It's true. You didn't fall asleep during it.
But that was also after several hours of WoW, and I was quite tired. And I don't really remember anything that was said. So
you talked a lot about WoW.
You did.
I figured I probably did. Mm-hmm. And I probably, as soon as I got that out of my system, was just like, and went to the sleep.
No, I think you like interacted with me a little bit when I was talking about shit I was playing.
Then, Matt, what were you talking about? Some game that I didn't like, so I went to bed.
Yeah. I don't know. Demo or a Force Unleashed or something.
I did almost get a Cheeto in your mouth, or a Cheez-It in your mouth.
Yeah.
From across the table. Up.
That was probably the highlight of that.
I would say that was the highlight.
So I would give it a 17 out of a 15 to 30 scale.
On a WoW scale, like on a 0 to 70.
It would be
or 1 to 70.
It would be a white item.
It'd be a white item. A gray.
No, not a gray.
It'd be you'd rate our podcast vendor junk.
Vendor trash. Well, it depends. Like, I would give it like a two-handed white weapon, so it's like worth, you know, like 6 gold. Sorry.
Six are worth 6 gold?
Wow, man, I'd take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, all right. I feel better now.
That's way more than decent.
No, it's not.
Well, come on. Two I'm gold, not level man. 80, like, I'm sorry.
It's a fortune.
It's no purple. Let's be serious.
I never even had one of those.
Sorry.
Anyway, Matt. How would you like to rate the show, if at all?
I'm not even going to rate it. I don't remember a lot of it.
Wow.
Do you not go back and listen
Matt
to every word that you say?
Section.
I do.
Yeah, I listen to the podcast all the time.
I do, but I just don't remember it.
Well,
like, I listen to it when it first came out, and then I just don't remember it.
Wow, my voice
I remember you and I talking about Force Unleashed, and that was like it.
Yeah.
And WoW, of course.
Okay. Well, that was successful, I think.
Did Mike?
That was
oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, you already rated it.
Yeah, next time I'll think of something more clever, like potato sacks or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be good. Potato sacks. Let's not burn all these ideas in one sitting.
Oh my God,
right? Okay.
Yeah, save the potato sacks for later.
So we're going to try a new segment called something relating to education, gaming, gaming education, gaming 101, education and gaming, something along those lines, where I'm going to start it out this week. Last weekend I played Snatcher, and it came out in 1992. Was for I don't even know why I print these sheets out for me because I'm so terrible at like reading them. It came out in 1988 for the PC-88 and the MSX, and it's an adventure game, adventure with a capital A. From Konami. It's not like an adventure game like Zelda. It's like an adventure game like point and click adventure. Yeah. It's by Konami, and it's Hideo's first game he created. Has a lot of his stylings that really got fleshed out through his career. There's a lot of depth to the game's emotion or to the emotional side of the game. It got released in the United States in 1994 for the Sega CD, It also hit Europe too on the Master System or the Mega CD. It's a really significant game because it has extremely good voice acting for the time. If it came out in 88, it had fantastic voice acting. It's just
wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Probably never heard that. I mean, even compared to like games that came out in the 90s for voice acting, it's fantastic. Really deep, mature storyline. And it came out for, you know, a fairly obscure system. It went through multiple iterations and like different edits to get the rating down and stuff like that. But there are a lot of ways you can get around that by like typing in codes to take off certain filters and things like that. So people who were in America and got like edited versions can still play it as it more or less originally was intended. I don't know what else to say about this besides like telling about the story. It's pretty much a mashup of like Terminator and Blade Runner and anime Bubblegum Crisis and like Body Snatchers or Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like,
oh, okay.
If you guys all played Metal Gear Solid 4, you know the Mark II, the Metal Gear Mark II, yeah. Is your companion. He's your partner in this game in Snatcher.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's where that's Kojima's referencing that. He also referenced Metal Gear in the game by saying your Metal Gear or your partner is named Metal Gear after the Metal Gear Crisis of the late 80s, referencing his own game, Metal Gear. Yeah, that's just how he rolls. He breaks the fourth wall a lot in the game, in that awesome Kojima sort of way. Like in the first area you go to, you hear this dripping noise, and your character or Jillian Seed, the main character, is like, "I can hardly hear it. I can't hear this noise, Metal." And Metal's like, "Well, turn the volume up on your TV," and you like crank your volume up to hear this dripping and follow the dripping through these through each like panel you go through. And eventually you find like a time bomb and you run out of the building and escape, and the building explodes and it's super loud and it like rattles the speakers and crap like that. And Jillian says like, "Oh, my ears are ringing from that explosion." And Metal Gear says, "That's because you left the volume turned up on your television." Like, that's brilliant. Coming out in 88 and like breaking the fourth wall and even a situation and gaming is still infantile. But it has a really mature storyline. Like, got pictures of characters' heads twisted off and scantily clad women, and just being like a mature game itself. Like playing a Terminator game that's done well, you can imagine would have a very interesting story. So, it's really hard to get your hands on because very few people bought it in the United States. So I'd suggest finding another way to play it, like I did. Because it's really worthwhile. It took me about 10 hours to beat, and it's a short game now, and it's a lot of fun, and it really shows you like how Kojima has evolved as a game designer, and like what games kind of went below the surface of mainstream gaming back in you know the 80s and 90s that a lot of people missed that were fantastic games. Play Snatcher.
How do we play Snatcher?
Well, if you wanted to, you could go out and buy a Sega CD and pay several hundred dollars for a copy of Snatcher, or you could perhaps get your hands on an emulator somewhere.
Mm.
We don't condone that.
No, that's illegal. But I mean,
that's the wrong way to play a game.
So is this where you want to take this segment? I'm kind of curious. Like, do we want to pick we're picking games? Like, games that people should play?
Well, yeah. Something like if you want to talk about... See, I think Chrono Trigger is a really good example for this as well because it's a very influential game. It's really noteworthy, and I think a lot of people these days probably haven't played it, probably heard about it, but haven't played it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know even our generation probably... I'd say more often than not played Chrono Cross,
yeah,
and then played Chrono Trigger if that piqued their interest. So I think moving farther away from that generation, we're going to be running into people who have played neither.
Yeah,
and okay. Chrono Trigger is like, you know, fantastic game. Just like Snatcher is like, you know, Chrono Trigger is to RPGs as to what like Snatcher was to adventure game, or not adventure games, but like voice acting and quality of games.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's just an idea. So like Chrono Trigger, or if you want to talk about like an obscure system, or like talk, I think Tactics would probably be a good game to talk about, or Suikoden.
Yeah.
I know we talk about that quite a bit, but it's worthwhile.
Have any of you played Dragoon, Legend of Dragoon?
Yeah.
Yo, you played
I've beaten it. Demo.
I still think a lot of people play that, but I don't hear much about it. Okay, we're back, and Griff, taking a little bathroom break right now, so but we'll just segue right into what you've been playing so far. And Keys, I can already guess what you've been playing, but we'll hear about it.
Well, continuing the trend of the last month or so, still been playing the expansion for a while, and it's been a lot of fun. I think the last time we podcast, I had just hit 80.
Yep.
Yes.
So I've had a little more time to tinker around with some of the new stuff that they have available for you at 80, and it's a lot of fun. The instances, for the most part, sadly, aren't that hard right now. I haven't gotten into any raids or anything like that, but yeah, the instances, I can see where people kind of have a downside of this. This is kind of one of the, I guess, the scrutinies of the game is that it's too easy, and so far the instances have been really easy, and it's actually been kind of disappointing. I mean, I've been having fun doing them because it's something new and something different, but at the same time, it's almost already getting to a point where it's like I just got to run these to get, you know, basically what are tokens, because each boss mm-hmm. you get a token, and so many tokens mm-hmm. you can get new gear, so it's already starting to become somewhat tedious. But I mean, it's all kind of like, I guess I have that drive to get to the 10-man dungeons and the 25-man dungeons. So I guess it's just all kind of in time, and I'll get there. And I'm still having fun with what I'm doing in the game. And, you know, there's some, I think a great thing they did was, even though some of the dungeons are pretty easy, they've tied the achievement system into that. So it's like, oh, this boss is too easy, just to, you can do it this way and wax him and get him down in no time. But with the achievement system, it's nice because it's like, defeat this boss without doing this and this, and you'll get an achievement for it. So it's kind of fun to challenge yourself in that sense, to be an achievement whore. And
for achievements on WoW, are they having any kind of incentive except for just getting an achievement? Like, will Blizzard like give a certain item to somebody who has like a certain amount of achievements? Or?
As of right now, it is just kind of bragging points. There's certain things. There's nothing like that will make your character better. You can get titles.
You can get a mount too. If
yeah, you
have
can get
so
mounts
many mounts,
for
you
certain
can get
ones.
Another mount.
So there's some achievements, but the actual point system itself mm-hmm. doesn't mean anything.
Right, you're not going to get like a month free membership if you get so many achievements.
I wouldn't put it past Blizzard in a later patch to put something in there being like, after you get X amount of achievement points, you have access to this vanity pet or this vanity mount.
Which they already do sort of have.
Yeah, well, for certain chains of achievements, I guess they do that. But I'm talking about, like, because for each achievement, you get a certain amount of points, and that adds to your cumulative achievement points. So I'm strictly talking points. There is things you can get, like tabards and titles and mounts.
Oh, you're thinking they're going to take the route of, like, honor.
Well, I'm thinking
honor points.
Yeah, I mean, there's the thing is, because you can't, like, accumulate so many achievement points. There's, like, there's this many achievement points you can get, and, like, that's the top, because that's how many achievements there are.
Oh.
So I'm thinking there's like basically like a bar you have to reach, and then this becomes available. And then a bar.
It'd be good
for
a gold sink,
huh?
It'd be good for like a gold sink sort of function.
Yeah,
because then you could have give people access to a certain items, make those just ridiculously expensive. So you have like the elite of the elite.
Yeah, they've done that actually with the expansion because they knew people were going to be farming a bunch of gold and stuff before the expansion, and so some of the stuff you have to buy is just like ridiculously expensive. Like there's a mammoth mount that's 18k gold, like rings that are 7k gold, so
outrageous. But
that's quite a bit. So, but But I'm having a lot of fun still playing that. Excited to get into the bigger, better dungeons. I'm already excited. Oh, I'm also, something I'm really pumped for is the new arena season to start, starting in a couple weeks here. So
You've never done arenas before, have you?
I've done arenas before. I kind of just got in at the tail end of season 4, so I didn't really get a whole lot of time to play in it, which is why I'm so excited now, is because I've gotten some PvP gear for level 80, and so I'm excited to actually get it like the start of a new season, so you actually have like full time to actually do them and like get your points and like compete, you know, for better gear and better ratings. So, and yeah, that's about it. I'm excited because we're gonna do a fives team, because there's 2s, 3s, and 5s teams, and we're planning on a 5s team right now, which potentially gives you the most points, but is also obviously the hardest. Plus, it's like crazy mayhem because you have 10 people in there fighting. So, I'm excited, to say the least.
Cool.
I've only been playing WoW. I've been boring the last month. I'm sorry.
I don't care, man.
You don't judge. I'm kind of in the same vein as Keys, actually. Started with the X-Pack, and I have not been as quick as Keys to get to 80. I'm not even anywhere close.
That's what she said.
I have to work to get that one.
Doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
I was trying to get in before. I was not as quick as Keys, but
oh,
as a bash to myself.
Got it, I guess. So I've just been getting into some of the newer stuff. I really like new content, but Keys touched on that a lot last time, so I won't get into too much.
I'm kind of curious to hear your opinion on it, though, like what you think as more of a casual player than me.
I like the stuff
as far as the expansion goes.
As far as the new style of quests, I really like how it ties together Warcraft 3 with World of Warcraft. Like some of the, they have some. If any of you played those games, I don't know.
I played Warcraft 3.
Okay,
not enough.
Not enough.
I played Warcraft 3 and the Frozen Throne. So
yeah, I played the Frozen Throne as well.
Yeah,
so
there are a lot of tie-ins in some of the areas. You look at like echoes of the past and stuff like that, and you see Arthas before he's corrupted and.
You have some really cool quests coming up too that involve Arthas, so I won't ruin them for you. But they're really sweet.
Yeah, I've ran into the image of the Lich King a few times. It seems like the story there. It seems like there's more of a story actually compared to Burning Crusade with Lich King, because one of the quests I did actually leads you to, it shows you one of the final bosses in one of the heroic in Utgard Pinnacle is seen in one of the quests, and the Lich King comes and says, oh, you can't have your revenge now. He sends him to the Pinnacle and says, if these guys come and find you later, you can get your revenge, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's kind of cool. I've liked using vehicles a lot. That's been fun. Flying around. I haven't been able to fly before, so that was a new and kind of novel thing for me.
So it would seem that in the new expansion, I haven't played it, but in the new expansion, they have a lot more opportunity to tell a story, which didn't really exist in the games before.
Yeah.
Like, you could more or less go through level 1 through 60 and have no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Just killing things, collecting things, turning things in. But it seems like with Wrath of the Lich King, they're moving towards more of a unified story experience that all players are enjoying.
Yeah,
and it's obvious that they're doing that because you're getting funneled into one location. Like, everybody's doing the same sort of quests, right? Like, you're going through Northrend, and you're going through one route. Like,
no,
opposed to Azeroth, where you have tons of different ways you can level up in different locations.
There's definitely fewer routes, but there's not, I would say, one standard route. I mean, you have 2 starting zones, so that alone separates players, and from there you can really do like a variety of things. Like I've known people that went to both starting zones and did all the quests there and then moved on and could even skip a zone into the like next higher zone. The way I ended up playing is there's 2 zones essentially for the levels between 77 and 80, and I didn't even end up doing one zone. Like, I didn't even like go into there, like, just because that's like what I ended up doing. So by no means is there a set route or path. I mean, you can skip zones. It's probably not as easy, but you can definitely do it. There's not a set route by any means, but there's definitely
certain points where players will all quest at certain areas, you know.
I've seen way more Horde than Alliance, though.
Welcome to our server.
Yeah, I know. But I haven't, as far as getting ganked or camped or anything like that, I haven't been, they ignore me. I can be outnumbered 4-1, and they'll just run by and let me go on my little way.
Yeah, most people that are leveling aren't going to bother with ganking for the most part. It's level 80s that are bored.
Killed one today. Helped kill an 80 today.
Congratulations.
It's a big moment for me. I'm only level 72. It's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Other than Warcraft, I got back into Fallout, actually. Started a new character over Thanksgiving break. Did a lot of the stuff I hadn't done before. Blew up Megaton.
Yeah. That's how you should do it.
So, started doing that. I really wanted to play, with Griff talking about the gaming history kind of thing that he wanted to do, I wanted to find my copies of Final Fantasy IV and Chrono Trigger to play those, and was let down when I couldn't find them.
I have those at home, if you want me to bring them.
Very cool. Everyone's supposed to be bringing. I keep asking for different games.
I have a bunch of games I'll bring back. But yeah.
And that is pretty much all I've been doing. A lot of WoW. Not as really hardcore, though.
Oh, it takes up a lot of time, though. A lot of gaming time.
Yeah, it does.
Takes up a lot of straight-up time.
Yeah, just big, big commitment. And Allie doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's not alone.
No, probably not.
My turn?
Sure. Okay.
Besides Snatcher, I played Animal Crossing, because I got a DS.
How was it? I'm curious. I gotta know.
Right, I don't even know, man. It's weird. Why don't you talk to me? It's not even that enjoyable. It's kind of like an outlet for strange sadistic behavior. I found I like to write note. Like, I don't even know where to begin with this game. It's so, it's cute, but it's not enjoyable. Like, it's collection based. And generally, I like collection type things where you just like get a bunch of items, but it's not enjoyable at all. So it doesn't really motivate me to play it. But it has all these characters in the town I'm in, all these like NPC characters, and they'll always be like, "Oh, you know, we write notes to each other in mail." And citizens of Animal Crossing Town, I forget what I called my city, like Latveria. Nobody's probably gonna get that.
Nope.
So all the citizens of Latveria really like receiving mail, so I like to send them mail, but I like to send like really weird mail to them, and they're always like, "Oh, that's so sweet, I read your letter, you're such a nice guy, Gurf." And like, there's a sheep, and I always send her notes about how I'm gonna like fleece her in her sleep. Yeah.
You can write the notes?
Yeah, well, yeah, man. And there's like there's a decent like filtering system. Like, you can't drop F-bombs, and the only word that I found works is ass. Like, I always call this one rooster guy a fat ass and tell him to like eat himself to death with like cornmeal and stuff.
Oh my god.
It's hilarious though, because they act so jovial after they receive this really cruel mail. So, I don't know. That's sort of the only thing that's really been amusing me in it is, it's sort of like
sending
make your
hate
own
mail.
Fun. Yeah. I don't get why it's so good. And the worst part about it is like the shops close at 11 p.m. And that's usually when I play DS games, like late in the evening. So I can't do anything. Like, it runs on an actual clock.
Oh, that's
change
lame.
Your clock.
Yeah, I've done that before. But then, you know, the whole thing about Animal Crossing is like, you run on their calendar to experience certain events and things. Like, it's part of the game. I don't know. It
makes sense.
It seems realistic. Like it would be a little detracting from the gameplay if I just change the clock all the time to do what I want. But,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it reminds me of Neopets, but in no way enjoyable. Like, in that Neopets had, like, a bunch of things to keep you distracted, but Animal Crossing really doesn't. That's really, that. I don't know. I haven't played it since. Aww. It's like collect seashells and pears.
Fishing?
We're fishing! The fishing is really boring and frustrating.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. The only way I amuse myself is just by like writing these really sadistic notes to like the town members. I played Castlevania Order of Ecclesia, which I really like for DS. It's really hard. It's really challenging. There's a ton of little kill quests and things like that for some reason I keep doing. But the one thing that I like is, despite how hard it is, when you get to boss battles, you can sort of cheat your way through them by just buying a ton of potions. So even if I don't want to learn like all the movement patterns of the underground snake thing. Nobody? Okay.
I was thinking about it.
I can just buy a bunch of like healing potions and, you know, batter my way through the battle. So I do kind of like that aspect. Then I don't have to spend hours doing it.
So you get tons of money, apparently?
No, you kind of just have to farm it. But you sort of end up farming things when you do some of these like fetch and collect quests for the townspeople.
You know what would be really funny? Is if in a game, like, you know how people like refer to farming as just killing mobs over and over again? Like a game is like, now you have to go farm so much gold, and like it ports you to like an actual farm. Like Moo.
Hash cow?
Like there's like gold trees that you have to harvest and plant. That'd just be like awesome. Sitting there for crops 6 months
good this year. Been lots of good weather.
Phosphorus count is too low. They're not going to ripen.
Quick, adjust the fertilizer levels.
Waiting for that second frost to kill all the crop before I can combine.
Now that I've completely interrupted your segment,
no problem.
I'll stop talking.
Castlevania Order of Ecclesia is really fun. I like it a lot.
For that,
I don't play a lot of Castlevania games, but
I know, but. Like, isn't there, like, 3 on the DS or something like that? Like, there's a couple on the DS.
The first one I played on the DS was really good. Like, was it it's Portrait of Rune or something? Aria of Sorrows. I don't remember which one. The one where you collect, like, spirits. And it was good. I liked that one a lot.
Because one of them I remember seeing just box art, and it looked really cartoony. Like, kind of, like, cel-shaded, weird kind of thing. I don't know. One of them just looked, like, the art style looked completely different than some of the other ones.
It's all sprite-based stuff, even in the game, even despite box art and stuff like that. Yeah, it's good. I played Little Big Planet over the break. I'm at the last level, and I can't beat this thing. It's like this gigantic rotating hamster maze. It's really frustrating. It's really cool, the last level, but it's just really irritating. I've played it so many times, and I keep dying.
It's no good.
It's frustrating.
That story component of story or campaign, whatever you want to call it, of Little Big Planet.
I think it's, if you buy the game just for the story, you would be justified in paying for it. It's long enough to be really fulfilling and take up enough of your time, even without going through and trying to collect everything. But there's so much more to the game that you're going to make it, I don't know, it's hard to say. It's probably not that long. But since it presents you with so many opportunities to go build your level and play other people's levels and interact with other people, like, you end up diverting from the main quest just because the game sort of suggests it. I can't really put a time frame on it.
I was just wondering, because, you know, I don't think anyone would buy it just for the story. They kind of want to buy it because they can make their own levels to play it.
Calling it a story is giving it quite a bit of license.
I'm just generally just saying, like, a single player.
The single player,
with no editing or creation.
Yeah. But, still, it's fun, though, just to see the level. Like, the cool part about the single player is you see the level designs and you're like, God, that's so awesome.
Yeah. I've seen some sometimes for YouTube videos, there's pretty interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. I played Valkyria Chronicles over the break, and I kind of hit
a rut?
Not a rut, but it's just like the story has reached that JRPG peak of disgusting, to the point of like, I feel like I should be killing God any moment. Like the next shark that we're going to be jumping will be the kill the God.
Like, really?
So now I've discovered like the remnants of the ancient civilization that are in tune with the earth, with the Mother Earth, and
Gaia.
They're being used by like the enemies, so you know how that goes.
Life force.
Yeah.
Despite it, though, I really, really like the game, and I'm going to keep playing it just because the strategy involved in it is so enjoyable. Yeah. And I played Force Unleashed, too. I beat it in a day.
Yep. Really short.
Disappointing.
No, it was not disappointing. It was really good.
I don't like games I can beat in a day, I don't think. I don't think. Maybe. I'll try it.
Either.
No, I won't.
That's why I demanded that we say that's a problem. But.
Yeah, I can see. I can see people buying it, being frustrated with it, especially because it was sort of billed as more of an epic story. It's really not. No. But part of that is the way, like, the pacing games have nowadays. It's just games drive you so hard through stories that it's that the time to, like, just put the controller down is not nearly as opportune as it used to be. Like, there's always something to do next. There's always, the game is always pushing you forward, so you're never like, wow, I need a break from that.
Yeah. Even though you're playing it for, like, 6-7 hours, it still just seems like the story would take, like, a half an hour to tell it. I mean, since it's all gameplay and just a couple cutscenes.
Yeah. But I had a lot of issue with the combat in it, with the Jedi battles. They were really difficult for me. I talked to you about this, Matt.
Yeah,
they were
some
very
of them
difficult.
Are, yeah.
Very difficult. I really like the force powers. The physics were kind of interesting. I know. I had talked about the about different material breaking in different patterns, which was I noticed when I was playing through it. But it's not nearly as dynamic. Like you can, if you like lightsaber slash a tree, the tree will break like I would imagine a tree would break like. But it's not breaking like if you had a lightsaber through a tree, like. It cracks like if I took a baseball bat and somehow managed to break a tree down. It's like all splintery and jagged, but it's not like a cut.
Wouldn't a tree light on fire possibly too?
No.
Or something? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But when doesn't, like, why would it be jagged? Did you do like a zigzag with your lightsaber?
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's wrong because you would assume like the lightsaber would just cut cleanly through it, but like it breaks as if it were battered down. Yeah. So. It's a little disappointing. But the story is really enjoyable, I think. The good ending does kind of fit with the universe, and it does sort of tie 3 with 4.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
And like I said, I think making that game a co-op experience would have been so much better, and there's totally a possibility to do it. Making a little robot sidekick who can transform into any, like, body, any person, and, like, be, like, a hologram of that. Having that, like, load up in each level with you as whatever second player decides they want their Jedi to be. Like, hello, LucasArts, free idea right there. That's awesome. Then you can play two-player. It would be rad.
I think they'll make another Star Wars game, kind of like Force Unleashed, and they'll probably do something like that.
And I know we had talked about how much cooler it would have been is if you could like combine your Force powers, or if Force powers were not so rigid in their structure. Like, they were awesome, but it was really rigid in how you could use each power.
Yeah.
That's it.
I recently rented Devil May Cry 4 again. I wasn't able to beat it in 5 days, but played that recently and finally get to be Dante. But it's actually it's a little hard to get used to it once you beat Dante because you play a completely different character with not the same kinds of abilities and weapons, and so you kind of have to, you go through a little bit of a tutorial again trying to get used to it. But you played 3 or the first one, you kind of get used to it after that. And I got back into Fallout again after like. Couple weeks of just letting it sit there. And
did you beat Devil May Cry 4 yet?
No. But for Fallout, really only played that for like an hour on the main story just to try to get through some of that. But other than that, Fallout, it's just sitting there still. And Griff and I, when we went out to GameStop, when you got your DS, I got Xbox game called Kingdom Under Fire, The Crusaders. And I know Griff, just hates those kind of games, but it's a hack and slash game. It's kind of like Dynasty Warriors, where there's a lot of people on screen. You can just, just keep hitting them or whatever. But they add different components of it, like kind of like strategy and, like you can level up characters and your troops and everything, and you kind of have to direct them to tell them who to attack who. So I kind of like to compare it sometimes to Dynasty Warriors with Kessen.
Yes.
Which
go Dynasty Warriors.
It could be, depend on that description, it could be really just terrible, or it could be, it could actually work, but you'd really have to play it for yourself because it's...
Have you played it yet?
Yeah, I played like a level or two. It's...
Awesome.
It's okay, yeah.
Is it on par with Dynasty Warriors?
Well, it's better than Dynasty Warriors. I mean,
what? Nothing beats Dynasty Warriors as a hack and slash.
There's yeah, but I think later on in the game it'll, you know, its appeal will morph its appeal to show up.
I think Deer Drive is gonna be Deer Drive is gonna be beating Dynasty Warriors as a hack and slash.
Hack and slash hunting. That'd be awful.
But yeah. And then oh, I actually like picked up Rock Band again. And yeah. I was playing that a little bit, but yeah, but other than that, yeah, I was playing a lot of games and not too much time on them. That's just how it is.
Really concentrating. I hear you.
You're dambling.
Can I ask you real quick? Just interrupt. Griff, I know I talked to you about Valkyria Chronicles, but a little bit about the story and how it's kind of gets kind of heavy. Would you still? I don't remember if I asked you if you recommend renting it or buying it or borrowing it.
I think. Like I told you when we were having lunch, keep your eye on the game and see if it drops in price over the over the holidays, or if you can buy it at a discount. I would totally recommend buying it. Just don't buy it right now because it probably will come down in price. If you rent it, you know, if you've played the demo and you like the demo, there's no reason to rent it because you won't beat it within that rental period.
Right.
And the story is pretty cliched and a little obnoxious at times, but the gameplay is so redeeming that I will gladly look past that.
Yeah, I really liked the demo, and that was without having any of the story with it at all and not knowing any of the characters or anything. So
yeah,
the gameplay
really
was enough
like
for me.
It's gonna be a really good game, and people are gonna really regret not picking it up in the future. So I think having your hands on a copy, you know, when that time comes, will be really beneficial.
All right, that's all. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Thanks, Keys.
Okay, then should we take a break and then just?
Yeah, we should take a break.
Okay, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
You should do it, Mike. Yeah.
Musical interlude.
Back from the break.
We were back like 30 seconds ago.
I know, but I'm making it official now.
Okay. All right.
I got the hiccups.
Well, and off to news we go.
I'm
going to drink redo my that?
Soda. I'm crashing from my venom. Fine. I need the antidote.
they should market a drink like that. They'd make a fortune.
Yeah. Just like another energy drink. Like take the edge off.
Wow.
Stick with the Coca-Cola. Great. So news. What do we got going on this week?
Okay, I got an article off GameSpot, and apparently there's Force Unleashed downloadable content now available. LucasArts just said now it's available without any kind of warning. There's actually a new level where you go to the original Jedi Temple, the former center, which was in a... Oh, how do you say the planet? It's Coruscant, yeah. You go there. Coruscant. Whatever. Tomato, tomato.
No.
Dude,
no.
Man.
Who cares?
Know how to use words.
Before the prequel, I was like a huge Star Wars fanatic.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, man.
Reading those 50 novels or whatever they come
no,
out
No, I didn't
all
read
time.
All the novels, but...
I know what you mean, though. But yeah, but there's that level you can just kind of learn about your past and about the Jedis in this new level. And then there's a costume pack where, you know, like 9 different, you know, costumes you can wear, but, like, really, who cares about
costumes,
that?
Costumes, I assume, like, skins, too, so you can
yeah, it's
play
like,
as, like,
it's skins
Luke
and stuff,
or, like,
yeah, like,
R2-D2 or...
That'd
be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and so you can get the lot, which I think includes the level and the costumes for $10 or 800 Microsoft points.
Okay.
Or just the costumes themselves for $5, 400 Microsoft points.
Does the article say where or to what systems it's going to be coming out for?
I think it's for both. It's for 360 and PS3.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. It's impressive.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm surprised. But,
kind of annoying since, you know, we already sent the games back, and I would be interested in playing the new level just to see what it's like. But I don't know if I... I don't know if I paid...
For $10?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll just watch a YouTube video of it and see what it looks like. You know?
It's probably going to look a lot like the other levels.
Yeah.
It's a good insight right
Which
there.
Were okay at best. So,
I have a list of releases coming up, and there's really not a whole lot coming out because all the big releases kind of hit the market with Prince of Persia hitting this last week.
Yeah.
Woot. So,
instead, I'm kind of looking through here, and I'm just going to make fun of games that are coming out. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Okay. I appreciate now, if you did this every week.
Okay. Now,
Mike's
originally,
crappy game of the week.
Until I figured out what this game was going to be, until I actually looked at it, I thought it was going to be like the worst game of all time because its title is Bigfoot Collision Course, and it's a racing game.
Okay.
Now, I was under the impression that it was Bigfoot, like the Yeti.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, this would be, like, mythical, cryptic monsters like, racing game.
Like, yeah, like, you got to ride them, and it was like, I don't even know, like...
Even better. Like, they're not driving cars. You just ride a Yeti.
Yes, exactly. You ride
or, like,
a Yeti.
Or, like, ride the Chupacabra or Nessie or wow. something like that. Would that not be awesome?
Dude, it's like it'd be like the best adventure game ever, and it's like a rodeo. You see how long you can stay on them. Collision course.
It'd be like a Wii game. You have tons of like interactivity with the Wii mount.
Exactly. And then I realized that Bigfoot is the name of a monster truck, and it suddenly became dumb.
Oh,
it was not fun anymore.
Not funny anymore.
All I remember is Gravedigger.
Yeah. And so Bigfoot. Like, they're the two big ones.
Bigfoot and crushing cars, and I was like, you're not funny anymore.
I think our idea was so much better.
Another one here is, this one is just kind of like weird. It's Garfield Gets Real. Which.
Really?
So like, we have like.
I didn't even know that this Garfield fat like, cat was still around. Like
takes a poo like, and lounges around the house.
Like, what would
and
you
eats
do
your lasagna.
You're like, kick Yodi off the table. It's like. But I did a little research and it's totally like shifts like the space and time continuum because it's like. Garfield knows that he's in a comic, and his comic is being taken off the newspaper, and he has to get back home.
If you fail the game, does that actually happen?
I wish, because I would buy that game and then just leave it run.
Exactly. Like, doing the world a service.
You know, medically speaking, this cat should have died years ago.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Being, a professional, from our biological backgrounds.
Like, this cat's been around since, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
Early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Consisting on a diet of strictly carbohydrates and fats.
Lasagna?
Yeah, lasagna, tons of it.
Bad for you.
That's a dead cat.
That is one dead cat.
It would be funny if the game was trying to keep Garfield alive.
It'd be like trauma center.
Resuscitate.
Trauma center cat
yeah.
for Garfield.
It'd be like, Garfield, trauma center. What doctor?
No, it'd just be three frames of like Garfield being like, I'll do it tomorrow.
You can only play it on certain
I
days.
I hate Mondays.
This other game I was looking at has the genre of productivity. As in, like, you know, like RPG action. This one's is productivity. And it's called Left Brain, Right Brain 2.
Two. So that means there's been a left brain, right brain already.
So I don't even know. I didn't look at this one.
Left brain, right brain pioneered the productivity genre.
You're stoked for that second
Does
one.
It just, I like, guess. Provide you with inspirational messages? To, like,
I don't
got,
know.
Like,
that's kind of what I'm looking at. I'm like, if you're playing a game, you're being anti-productive. So
unproductive, one might say.
Whatever. You and your
No,
word.
You destroy, actually, productivity.
So it's
not
like
just not doing anything.
This game
you are the
essentially
antithesis of production.
Yes.
This game essentially is trying to get you not to play the game. It's like be productive, blah blah blah. It's like okay, I'll shut this off. It's like
those messages on the Wii that like yeah. have the window and like wind blowing in. It's like you should go outdoors.
They really say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Or like Metal Gear 4. Yeah. It's like it's 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. Perhaps you should take a break.
Yep.
No.
Or the message in WoW when you load in, it's like. Remember
everything in moderation.
Everything
Even
in moderation.
Wow.
Or the one where it's like, it's good to know friends in game, but it's also better to know friends outside of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really? I didn't know that myself.
People are cripplingly addicted.
Yeah.
Just be their habit. Now.
As far as, I mean, there's the obvious dumb ones like learn math.
That's probably like the ultimate irony right there. It's just a game that's like trying to get you to stop playing games. It's like Garfield the game is doing that as well.
Maybe it's like that, like, you know, like really bad like drug users. Sometimes they'll like make them take a whole bunch of drugs. And then, like,
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, either.
You never heard of that?
Lost.
No. Or, like, what the hell? Sounds like a terrible idea.
Exactly.
Are you basing this off on like the television sitcom where like the parents find the kids smoking or something and they make them smoke a bunch of that cigarettes? Yeah. You know, medically, that's how they treat tons of people.
Like crack. Yeah.
Being it's a like, doctor.
Just take all this smack real quick.
A huge tube of heroin.
And then, of course, the much anticipated.
Deer Drive?
Yes.
Sweet.
Which only would be good if it were a sequel to Raptor Safari.
Yes. That would be awesome. Anyone that hasn't done it, RaptorSafari.com. Yep. It's the best game ever.
It is. If you have, you know, like time waster games, that sort of genre, it is so much fun.
But anyway, Deer Drive, the only way I could find this fun, because it's on the Wii, so it's like they're pushing the multiplayer thing, is if like you were the deer and you got to hunt the hunters.
If it's like Grand Theft Auto, but like you're a deer, like Niko Bellic, the deer.
Yeah.
The ultimate prey.
Like that would be awesome.
Or if it's like Frogger, just like run away from trucks trying to hit you.
Like that would be awesome. Or like if it was multiplayer, you had three hunters and then one person was the deer and the deer had like hoof attack and like...
Gore.
Could ambush people. That'd be pretty sweet.
Summon friends of the forest.
And then,
but that doesn't really have much to do with Deer Drive.
Whatever.
You know, it'd be sweet, though, if it was, like, a driving game, right?
Uh-huh.
And you, like, you don't use your shotgun to hunt deer. You just use your car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we did it back on the farm.
It'd be, like, customize your like, car to better destroy deer.
Oh, that would be
pretty
sweet.
Like, a wrecking ball on it or
a ram.
A ram.
Dozer blades.
Dozer blades. Smoke grenade launcher.
All right, this is really funny because I'm just going to...
40K?
Pintle mounted storm bolter.
Yes.
I'm just going to, like, this is more towards,
Hunter
like,
killer
I guess...
missile.
We're a little beyond casual gamers, but I'm just going to list off the Wii releases.
Okay.
All right, are you ready for this? I don't think you guys are ready
prepared.
For this.
I'm
sitting
ready.
Down.
Iron Chef America, Supreme Cuisine. Imagine Fashion Party. Neopets Puzzle Adventure. Rygar, the Battle of Argus. Maybe that might be something decent. Six Flags Fun Park. Word Jong Party. Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People, Episode 5, which actually I bet is pretty sweet, because I like Strong Bad.
I do, too. And adventure games are fun. Those are coming out really quickly.
Ultimate Shooting Collection.
What?
Deer Drive. M&M's Beach Party.
That sounds awesome.
What? Is that going to be like the... I was reading about that 7-Up Spot game on Sega? Is that going to be like that?
I read a little bit on the M&M's Beach Party, and it's just like a party game. It's like you're on the beach, and there's like kayak. And
oh, so it's like Wii Sports meets Mario Party?
Yeah. So, whatever. Yamaha
meets
Supercross.
M&M's!
Deal or no deal? As if you couldn't get enough.
If the board game was not enough in the television show and... So you want to virtually win free money now?
Like, okay, I can see how, like...
How do you answer the phone? Do you pick the Wiimote up and you're like, hello? The executive is calling us. The producer is calling us.
See, I can understand, like, a game like when the Millionaire game came out. And, like, that actually asks you questions.
Yeah, that's true.
This is just picking fucking boxes.
Right.
Briefcase, yeah.
Yeah.
I want number... And there's only... 20 briefcases? That's going to be the shortest thing
It'd
ever.
Be sweet if you won, like, Wii credits or something like that.
Yeah, like Microsoft points, yeah. It'd be actually entertaining.
I don't even know what they are. But
do you have
just,
to, like, supply your own insane family members to pressure you
no,
you
I'm gonna,
into, like,
I'm
going
to market a
deal.
Box to the Wii and be like, open boxes game. That is what the title will be.
Open boxes.
Yeah, and it'll be just be, like, nothing crap in there.
Speaking of really weird Wii games, sorry to cut you off here for
no,
a second,
ahead.
But Wii Tap, or Let's Tap, oh, my God. I take everything back that I had said or thought about this game because it looks so good. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, it comes with the most ridiculous and slap in the face of video game players and purchasers everywhere. It comes with a cardboard box that you put your Wiimote on, and then you tap the cardboard box. I really don't know why. I'm sure there's a reason for it, but...
You're buying a cardboard
box. It's by Yuji Naka. So it has... Yeah. But it's like DDR meets Donkey Konga meets like any kind of rhythm action
meets
game.
Hobo's Old but Home.
It's tapping, and there's different. There was a video up on Kotaku I saw, and it was like there's different modes you can play. There's five different modes, and the music in it is so good and so driving that you just want to tap.
Is that like a lot like your PSP game, the
Patapon?
Patapon.
It's like, I think it's going to fall into that. People are going to get really enthralled with it by its charm, and it's going to be a really fun multiplayer game.
So, you just tap, do you have to, like, is that like Rock Band or Guitar Hero, like, they'll have like a thing and you have to tap to it, or you just tap to it in your
own
way?
Did you ever play Donkey Konga?
No.
Okay,
I did not play that.
It's a good one.
Like, you'll tap, you, like, tap the box.
Yeah.
I'm making little, like, dog paddling motions, and you tap the box as the note, as like the tap symbols come across the screen.
Okay.
So basically, it's like a DDR.
Okay.
You know? It's like
that's
Guitar
what I was
Hero.
Asking. If it was that or like Donkey Konga, where like the guy's actually moving. Or...
Donkey Konga doesn't move.
I thought you could like play something where.
Well, I'm sure there's
Donkey
different
Kong
modes in it.
Yeah.
But the general gameplay is woo, stuff slides across the screen and you tap the bongos in the appropriate time.
Okay. Yeah.
I almost overlooked one. This actually isn't for the Wii, because the Wii, that's pretty much it for the Wii. But this is bringing games just to like a whole new level. It's for the DS, which doesn't surprise me. I can't believe you bought one. Which I really think you should get, Griff.
magic of editing will adjust that. And all my retarded slurring right there.
Okay. Is called My Personal Diary. You can write your memoirs in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what a memoir is.
A memoir is...
other than like what rich old white men do.
Anyway, what I think you should get... you should get it, because then, you know...
People would remember you when they find your DS.
And stuff.
I'll bury it.
You can put it in a time capsule. Yes!
Yeah.
You know what else you should leave in? You gotta leave... Like, if I ever was to leave a time capsule... I would leave something.
This is very plausible. Like, this isn't something that's a lofty goal.
Yeah,
you
this
could
is
just
like,
do this.
I might just do this. I would leave like a whole bunch of like really like people would be like, oh, this is really neat, really neat. And then I would leave something like visually disturbing, just like that they had wished they had like never opened it before.
A picture of like goatee or like
I don't know what
something
that
like
means.
That.
Yeah, just like a picture of some like inanimate object that would just like confuse.
And frighten
the hell out of them. I don't know what it would be yet.
You're gonna confuse the
like
future.
A can opener, just like you know, I'd have like all. I would want to. It would be something like totally
inane.
Like I would like the capsule would have a theme, and then like this would just be a thing in there. Like, and they would just like I would want them to be confused and not know why it's there.
I'm sorry, what? A fleshlight.
It's like, oh, pictures, oh, a journal, oh, like a little game board. Like, oh.
Like, yeah, that'd be kind of funny. You have like baseball cards and like Matchbox toys and like really innocent things. Yeah. And then, you know, some like a really raunchy, weird ass.
Oh, I don't know.
It's like a naked picture or something. Like, I don't know. Not of yourself or anything. Yeah. So.
What?
I just committed insurance
fraud. Just remembering the things you were saying earlier.
All those things? like a picture of Gutsy Man or Tub Girl?
Anyway.
Does anybody know what this is?
No, yeah, unfortunately.
Anyway, I'm done. So
had to unsee that.
Someone else just go, please, before I...
PSN updates for this week. Who's got them? I can't read, so I'm not doing them.
Right there.
Hi, me again.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Dr. Keys.
Well, hello, kids.
Can I treat the ones I like?
Kids can pump me up.
Yeah, anything.
Kids can pump. That was it. That's what I was trying to think of.
I knew I'd get it.
Kids can pump me up. God. Okay. I don't know what this
One
is.
Ring
what
to
it's
rule
for?
Them all.
Oh,
I'd leave a picture.
Oh,
of
that's
that.
A band or something. Words.
Jeez, that's my problem.
Stuff that's coming out. Add-ons for Age of Booty.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Little Big Planet has a costume coming out for some costume winner. Karaoke Revolution.
Anything that seems interesting on that list?
No. Rock Band. Soul Calibur 4. Customizable Equipment 3.
Oh, sweet deal. I know I looked at it.
Themes and wallpapers. Lingerie girls theme. Oh,
hot damn.
European Highlands.
Ooh.
Atomic acid theme. Don't know. Little Big Planet episode 4. Life in Little Big Planet episode 4 is a video coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Resistance 2 Last Hours is a video.
For the releases, there's some DLC, if I recall, something for Far Cry 2, I remember seeing, looks kind of interesting. Weapons and...
A Fortunes pack.
Yeah, weapons and vehicle pack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guitar Hero stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing really notable.
Nope.
Good thing you had to read this. What is that, that game? Everyday Shooter is coming to PSP. You can buy that on the PlayStation Store. It's kind of a big deal.
Everyday Shooter, yeah.
Yep.
Super Stardust Portable.
Mm-hmm.
Brain Challenge.
Some PSP games, yeah.
I can't say that word, so I won't talk about it.
Let me see the word.
McLean's? McLean?
Yeah.
McLean's. Archer McLean's Mercury.
Sounds. Oh, yeah. Mercury. That's like a Super Monkey Ball sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's all junk.
Not
all junk. It's all junk.
Yeah.
It says keys.
Bender it.
Probably. Last night, I was on NeoGAF, and I noticed a sticky around 4 a.m. Central Time. A post came up about a new Metal Gear game coming to who knows where. It's on the blog. It's a teaser. It's a teaser page on the Koji Pro website. So it just says something like the next Metal Gear is, and then it has like this equation of an exclamation point plus an I equals a power symbol. Like it's got this like almost complete circle with a little eye on the bottom, and it's in green, and the green is causing people to speculate that it's Xbox 360. Some people claiming that the eyes are
Wii's,
indicating Wii. So who knows? It's Kojima. It could mean anything.
I wish just another one for the PlayStation.
It's just another PlayStation.
That'd be awesome.
It's just like a green skin for like Metal Gear 4.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I would be kind of interested in is if it's not a new Metal Gear Solid. People are, I know the internet is upset about, like, oh, Kojima, try a new IP, try a new intellectual property, do something other than Metal Gear. But, you know, maybe it'll be something that's not Metal Gear Solid. So that could be interesting.
That'd be cool.
We'll keep our eyes on it. Keep it fresh.
And then lastly, down on my end, we have the new Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Athena. Process on 1UP.com. Talking about it's a remake for the next gen, plus it has a new campaign and multiplayer. One of the interesting features.
What is it remaking?
Butcher Bay.
Okay.
Escape from Butcher Bay.
Okay.
And then we'll have the actual, from how I understood it, will be the Chronicles of Riddick movie, I think, where he fights those immortal people.
Yeah.
So that'd be the new campaign. And then the multiplayer mode that they mentioned is Pitch Black mode, where you have everybody, you have your group of people playing online, or maybe local, I don't know. Mostly online, it said. You have one person is Riddick, everybody else is a normal person. Riddick moves faster, you can see in the dark, but only has a knife. Other people
Can we substitute just Vin Diesel in for Riddick and like
say
everybody is a normal person and there's and some Vin person Diesel. Who is Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel only has, he can see in the dark and has a knife. Everybody else has flashlights and guns.
Uh-huh.
So
you
want to
fight
be,
each other?
Yeah.
Best game ever.
And it's, the room is,
I think
dark.
It sounds awesome, but a niche online counter-operative experience like that's going to go the route of MGO, I'm thinking. It'll be cool for like a month.
Yeah.
I think it's just one mode, though. One features Pitch Black multiplayer mode. I don't know about any other. I don't mention other online support, but it doesn't go into detail other than the Pitch Black mode, which I think still sounds really fun.
That does sound.
So you
fun.
you take turns being Riddick. Like if you kill Vin Diesel, you get to become Vin Diesel.
Just like real life. Just like Highlander.
Just like Highlander.
Ow.
Yeah, this fell apart.
I hate that so much when that friggin' computer
podcast station blows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God, man.
That was graphic.
I need to get you a different, like, We need to get.
Griff,
one of
you can
those,
remember
like,
this when you're editing.
Probably. I need to get one of those like dog collars that have like the giant
cone.
Yeah,
one of the detector
cones.
I'll
put it on the mic so you can't actually do anything illicit to it.
They're crawling in there.
God damn it.
Anything else you want to get in about
that, that is
about
all,
Vin Diesel
that
game
is
before
all that
we
I have with
take
the remake
a break.
Of Escape from Butcher Bay. Assault on Dark Athena. Check it out.
All right. Discussion up next. Do you want to do a quick Vin Diesel impression before we head out?
I can only be one to Highland.
You sound like a friggin' leprechaun.
I thought you were going to do children pump me up or something like that.
Kids can pump me up.
Children pump me up. Yeah.
Vin Diesel, everybody, guest starring. We're sued.
Yeah, so for the discussion, we're going to be talking about reviews. What, did we stop or something?
Oh. No.
Just like, don't do that. You're like looking at the screen all intensely.
This
Gosh,
guy.
Matt. What? Yeah, anyway,
the
so,
weird
review,
continues.
So reviews is going to be the topic of this week, and I think it's kind of useful for me because I want to be writing a couple, and I want to see what you guys have to say.
Okay. Game reviews, I still use them just to kind of get a gauge of, like, how a game is. Like, what's the reception of it? Like, what's, you know, pros and cons? And, of course, like, what everyone else does. But I don't really use them as much as I used to decide if I'm going to play a game or not.
Okay.
I used to do that, like, Game Informer, I used to, like, you know, subscribe to that. And I would go through their reviews and, like, you know, look at certain things and certain games. And if a certain game would get, like, a good review, I would, like, oh, maybe I should try this out. If something got really a bad score,
yeah,
I wouldn't try it. But, of course, that's only one publication, and going by that just doesn't work. And so I eventually stopped doing that, like, making, you know, going just by their magazine and just went, you know, a couple websites and maybe go to Game Rankings or something. That's usually the best way. It just give you a whole wide range of
so
reviews.
You want an aggregator of game reviews.
Yeah, but even if a game gets bad reviews, I will still play it. Or if you know, if it gets good reviews, I still might not play it. It doesn't really matter for me if the score is good or not. Of course, you know, if a game gets like 3 out of 10 or something, then that.
You know, so you focus mainly on the scores games get.
Just to see if it's going to be like, you know, if I. When I play it, if I'm going to have expectations while playing it, though. I'll still play a game if it has good reviews or bad reviews. Like, if a game gets to 6 out of 10, but I thought it, like Last Remnant. I'm just going to play that at some point, even though it got terrible reviews.
Number-wise.
Yeah, number-wise. Medical, but I want to play it for myself to see, like, maybe my standards aren't as high for a game like that as maybe I could get through some of the difficulties in it. But.
Do you ever read the...
Yeah, I do.
Commentary that goes along with the reviews?
Yeah.
Or do you just look for the score usually?
No, I read some of the reviews. I won't read a review for like a game that I know it's just going to be good or that, like GTA 4, I didn't read a review. I knew I was just going to play it. I don't really care what a review is going to say, but or like a Halo or something.
But if you saw like GTA 4 got a bad review, would you be more inclined to read it then?
Yeah, because that'd be more surprising since all the other ones have gotten good reviews and such
so
high
if it's a big name title,
yeah. If, less if it's like,
who's going to take them on their past credibility, past successes?
Yeah, since I've played the other games and since they've just, you know, kind of been the same, but they're same mechanics, but it's still, you know, just a good game and, you know, so many good reviews and everything. But if it got a bad score, that would just be kind of really surprising, and that I would check that out.
How about previews? Generally, previews won't rate games. Do you ever read? I know
previews. I sometimes do. It's, I don't know. I sometimes will and sometimes don't. Like there'll be like a 5-page preview. I'm just like, oh, I'll find out about this stuff when I rent it when it comes out.
Yeah.
I just really don't care at this point. But you know, I don't know. Yeah. So,
how does it? So you say it'll influence. Sometimes they'll influence you as a player, but not usually as a buyer of games.
Yeah, like, I'll just, you know, with expectations and everything, and not so much as it used to be before where I wouldn't play a game at all if it just got bad reviews. I could think, okay, I guess I'll just stay away from that. Where But it will kind of affect me. It'll maybe, you know, lower expectations. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised or something like that. But I'll still play a game even if it has bad reviews. So,
okay.
I'm not a big believer in game reviews personally. I'm going to, if something piques my interest, I guess, I'll look at it. Mm-hmm. I'll go online and check things out and see what people think of it. I don't really like to read other people's opinions about games either, unless I know that there's somebody who has a similar taste as me, I guess.
Hmm.
Because I know what I like, and I don't want to have somebody attack one particular flaw just because it bothered them. Like people who, in reading, when you talked to, told me about a review about Mirror's Edge, you say people are upset about the shooting mechanic.
Yeah.
Where I have the mindset of, I don't care, that's not going to upset me because I'm not playing Mirror's Edge to shoot people. I'm playing it for what it is, not for its resemblance to Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look at scores if it's a game that I'm interested in, or I'll look at a quick overview,
mm-hmm.
like pros and cons or what it did well. But other than that, the reviews really don't influence my decision. Sometimes it's interesting to see, especially if I don't know about a game, what people have to say about it, because I don't want to miss out on something.
Do you use any source in particular, like Game Informer or EGM or a website or GameSpot or 1UP?
I use 1UP.
Or do you use like an aggregator like Matt does?
I don't use an aggregator, no. If I want to look at something, I usually go to 1UP. I used to use EGM and Game Informer, but that was long ago.
Nintendo Power,
actually. Yeah. I had a couple issues of that lying around.
That's a whole other issue. Like the official Xbox magazine giving a good score to an Xbox game or something. Like, it just seems weird to me. But that's a whole different issue.
Well, obviously, when you have reviewers, people are going to have biases.
Oh, yeah.
So it's important to find people who you can trust. Like Mike's saying, people who not necessarily are going to share the same opinion as you, but who are going to give a game a fair critique despite what they believe. You were talking about Jeff Gertzman, who got into trouble for giving a game a review.
It was he worked at GameSpot, and it was for Kanan Lynch for the Xbox 360 PS3. And he gave it like a 6.5 out of 10 or whatever. But the issue was they were getting like ads from the Kanan for, you know, Kanan Lynch, like the company, you know, was paying for their ads.
I don't know who the company was, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know that. But the point is, like, they were getting income for, you know, ads from this company who published or developed whatever, Kanan Lynch, and they weren't happy with Jeff's score. And obviously, I think they wanted him to, like, possibly change it or not be so harsh or maybe, like, wait on the review. I think it was more like him changing it.
Well, I looked up the official story on Jeff Gertzman, and it's that you're right, he reviewed it, and then he was laid off afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But for no official reason was given. GameSpot never gave any official reason, but people speculate that it
I think, I looked into some of that, too, and I think there was on some random forum, some guy named himself like GameSpot something something. It might have been an editor from there. He was like laying out things like how it's BS where you have like these marketing guys or like the direct or people running the offices, but they don't know anything about games or, you know, reviewing games, and they expect us to, you know, give something a good review even though we don't agree with it. But then you have to balance the fact that, hey, these people pay us our salaries and everything. So
that's business gets in the way of objectivity.
Yep. So he's a giant bomb. Yeah, and
the rumor is that he got laid off because of how he scored Kanan Lynch.
And then after that happened, a bunch of people left GameSpot.
Exactly. Several of the writers and workers left in protest.
Yep. I think Brad on Giant Bomb works with Jeff.
Yep. So did Vinny. Vinny used to work on GameSpot. He left.
There was a couple other ones I remember.
Ryan worked at Ryan. I forget his last name. I forget. I don't know their last. I just started listening to their podcast recently.
Giant Bomb was basically GameSpot guys. So.
Yeah. A couple of the other guys left and went on to work as developers for games or producers for games. One went to Harmonix. One went to, I don't know, another game company.
Yep. Oh, Griff, you got an opinion on it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to read reviews for what the substance is in the review, actually, because I like to see what other people have to say about games. Because a lot of times, reviews are not just going to be, like, if reviews have really evolved, I think, in the last couple of years because it's so simple to get information about, like, oh, it's got great-looking graphics, a slick interface, it's got tight handling and you know, bass bumping sound. And, you know, it's like, you know, that tells me nothing about the game. It's just, I mean, it's basically saying, like, all the technical aspects are really enjoyable, but I can find that out anywhere. So I think reviews have evolved to say more about a game than just, you know, the technical parts or the sum of the part or the parts as individuals. I think reviews are more interesting when the writer has some insight into the game as a game, or into the into the narrative, or into like some of the meaning, some of the something that's not so easily apparent in or not so easily noticeable in a game. And like, you know, I said, I'm a firm believer that video games are a form of media and, you know, a very interesting way to share an experience, and that there can be depth and there can be ways to analyze games beyond just technical aspects. And I think reviews have, not necessarily in magazines, but like a lot of the online reviews that you can read, have really evolved to sort of meet those standards to supply something more so than just numbers. So I do like to read reviews for that, but I've actually stopped recently because I want to write my own first and then read other people's, just so I'm not influenced by what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Or if I do read people's first, I'll sometimes, you know, make commentary on things that were criticized about the game, you know, sort of addressing theirs. So it becomes more of like a form of saying, a way to say, like, a way for people to have a dialogue and less of like, you know, I think this game has good graphics, and more of like, well, let's talk about possibly some symbolism here or something like that. Like, what do these actions mean on a more profound basis?
Do a lot of reviews really do that?
Well, like I said, I don't think a lot of publication reviews do that because that's, you know, it's more for mass marketing. But, you know, some of the things on 1UP and some other websites and even some forum posting, you'll find some interesting insight into games, and blogging too. Well, gives that opportunity for people to say kind of what they're believing.
I kind of like it when 1UP, on the 1UP show, when they're shooting a video and they have, like, you know, three people just standing there, sitting there, and they're talking about a game they all played, and it's kind of like
a dialogue about the game.
Yeah, like a review at the same time, and
yeah,
it's just kind of free flowing. It's not just like, okay, let me sit down here and organize everything.
Yeah. Oh, I really like that. I wish we could do something like that, but you know.
Playing all the same games.
But yeah, we don't generally do that.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But I think reviews are really useful, and I think that they should evolve, and they should become more than just a technical breakdown of a game. And I think review scores, I mean, I use them. I mean, I'll look at a game and say, hey, it got such and such rating. But, and you know, that usually will influence me when I go into a game, like hearing Force Unleashed did poorly, and then being really surprised when I play the game, you know, I thought it deserved better praise than that. But then it's also unfortunate that, you know, saying a game is a B is like saying it's almost unplayable. Like, it's almost not worth playing is what the mentality sort of is. Like, if a game gets a C, it's like, whoa, man, don't touch that, waste of time. If a game gets like a, you know, a 6 or a 2 stars or 3 stars or whatever sort of rating, like, it's just... it's unfortunate that like a low or a middle rating can just kill a decent game.
I don't really understand the rating system sometimes. Like, what makes an 8.6 to an 8.7?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no, I agree.
I'm just like, whatever. Let's take the 8 to 9 range or whatever.
I remember, like, in some of the old publications where you'd have, you know, games would be like, I remember reading, I would always hate reading IG or Game Informers where the main reviewer would give it like 9.5, and then the secondary opinion review would be like 9.2. I'm like, really? Like, that doesn't tell me anything. It tells me you both like the game, one a little less. Mm-hmm. But having some dissent in game reviews is interesting.
Yeah, that's what you should have, second opinions.
So. Well, useful second opinions, not someone just parroting what the other person has said.
Not a snippet. Yeah. Isn't that, last time I read it, it was like a two sentences, it seemed like what they would put on there, or you would want to hear more.
Yeah.
So you had some big differences sometimes.
But I think game, still though, I think having a way to just, a way to say like, oh, is this game playable? Like, should I play this game? Unfortunately, I think like the rent it, play it, buy it is sort of a decent system for, you know, games, because you can say like, you should play this game, or, you know, it's not really worth your time to play it, or don't play it. Like, just those three simple gradations are, I think, a really easy way to rate games.
Mm.
But with so many games saturating the market and game quality increasing as time goes on, it makes it so, you know, you want to critique them and you want to give them interesting, or you want to like praise the ones that do things well and you know, say like, oh, this game did not do certain things as well compared to another game.
It's really hard to judge a game where it's like, hey, we're going to take, you know, we're going to view an RPG and part of the rating is part of its story. And then you get like The Blob for Nintendo Wii, but that doesn't have a story, you know, like how are you going to deal with that?
Yeah. So oh, that's another really tough area in game reviews is like, if you give Metal Gear Solid 4, you know, an A, and then you give like a game like Peggle an A, or say like an A+, and you're like, well, that means that Peggle is better than Metal Gear, yeah. Even though the Peggle is like a slot machine game and Metal Gear has a rich narrative, and to compare two things like that's not fair, and you're using a scale that compares games in that respect. So that's why I think like written reviews are actually important, because when you read them, you'll get more than just a number and more than just a really shallow and visceral summary of what a game is. Yep. I have another question. Do you think for a game review to be valid, does a person need to complete a game, finish it all the way through, try every mode? Like,
To complete the game? No, they don't have to complete it to write a review on it, but I mean, you do have to play like a majority of it.
Really, a majority?
Yeah. Yeah, at least halfway.
Yeah.
Or at least, if not, if you don't advance the story, at least give it enough play time to really evaluate all it has.
It.
Yeah. You can't just give like a first look, I played this game for 2 hours and here's how it is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like with Mirror's Edge, I mean, like, yeah, it could suck in the first couple hours, but maybe they changed it up
or
later on.
Maybe, like, I love the demo. I play the demo. You know, I've played it a lot, and maybe things do get frustrating later in time, having only played it for 10 minutes or so each sitting.
Yeah, there's certain games that if
who
you
is play this?
It, sorry.
A challenger approaches.
I was just thinking, like, imagine if someone, like, wrote a review after, like, an hour gameplay of Portal.
That's a great point.
You
They'd
know?
Be like, this is kind of a quirky puzzle game.
Yeah, they would had no idea what it was really about,
well,
so.
And the ending's pretty cool, like, kind of. I don't know what happens at the end, and then the little Easter egg you get.
Huh? What are you talking about?
For Portal?
Yeah.
Or when you fly out at the top and you
what?
Land.
The yeah. hell? I'm just kidding. I know.
But, I
what
don't
are
know.
We talking
that,
about?
That kind of adds
yet,
to
Mike?
It.
No, I don't have
see?
A...
See? Butthead?
I don't have Orange Box.
You can take my copy.
I'm going to have 7 games by
stop
the end
stop playing WoW and play other games. Stop wasting your life.
I
you'll see
play other
I mean.
Games.
I'm just kidding.
I don't detail it enough, so...
But yeah, it's a good point. For me, like, playing an MMO or playing, like, a really long-spanning game that's a lot of repetitive gameplay, I think you can play a game without playing the entire thing and still have a firm review of it. Like,
you really can't. I mean,
like, I know I've never made it to the top tier or done, like, high-level stuff in World of Warcraft, but I still think I can give it an accurate assessment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on that point.
I would wonder how, if you read a review and then you, like, really, you respected the reviewer and you like, took to heart a lot of what the review said, and then you find out that this review has only been, like, our cursory play of the game. Like, that'd be kind of interesting to do something like that. Well, 1UP on their podcast, they always talk about how they want to do this. They want to have someone, Sean Elliott would talk about how he wants to have someone play the game all the way through, give it, like, a usual intense criticism, have somebody write a review playing the game only for an hour, and then have somebody write a review based on only reading other reviews and see how all those three reviews stack up against each other and see how they differ and how, like, what would just come of a situation like that.
I think that'd be really interesting.
It would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you have the person who's just read reviews is obviously going to be dealing with a lot of bias, potentially. Because they haven't played the game themselves. They don't have their own opinion.
Right.
I think that'd be really interesting.
It would be. And one might even suggest that, you know, the review that's the really short play might be more palatable to a major audience, and the longer, lengthier review that's completed the entire game may be less liked because of, you know, we form our opinions so quickly and so superficially that it'll probably be just as good, if not the same, as like a review that lacks any insight that has played the entire game through. A review that,
the problem that I could see that would come from that, though, is if a person doesn't like a particular game and they have to play through the whole thing, and the frustration just builds and builds and builds, and they're gonna pull a U on Dead Space, and you come in rail about it, and the person who plays it for a couple hours or whatever can get away from it and say, oh, this game was pretty good. He didn't get to any of those points, or anything like that. So the game scores could vary wildly in that respect.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. Dead Space, I think, is a special issue, though.
Well, yeah, I just bring that up because we talked about it.
Yeah.
What about Dead Space? What about anything else?
Best game ever.
Game of the year, yeah. All right, I think that's any other comments about reviews before we wrap it up? I think podcasting and, like, audio media is a really good, and videos are, is like, a really good way of moving reviews forward as well. Mm. You know, having a group-based discussion about a game will give a lot more to it than just somebody sitting down and writing. Well, it may not give a lot more, but it'll give a different feel and situation or a review of a game.
I think it does give a lot more. I like the dialogue. I like our situation. We all sit down. We have different opinions. We play different games for the most part. We all bring something else that, or an issue that somebody else didn't see or didn't care about or didn't get into as much. You get a more complete or a more fulfilling experience, I think, that way. Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting if we could get some way to, like, everybody play one game so we all have something to talk about when we're doing what you've been playing. So it's not just, like, two people are talking together, having a two-person discussion at most.
Yeah. But
end of discussion, I think?
Yeah. I think sounds good.
Now it's the end of the year, so we can do all sorts of fun stuff. Like, what do you have any? Do you have any opinions as to game of the year?
Ooh, wow!
Of 2008? I mean, we're reaching the end of 2008. This is December.
I can remember what games came out this year. What game I think will get game of the year, and what do I want to be?
What game do you think, and why?
I think Gears of War 2 will probably get Game of the Year.
Really?
I think.
Does anybody know offhand what got Game of the Year last year?
I don't, actually.
Call of Duty 4, if that came out that year. Call of Duty 4 got the most. Call of Duty 4 and Bioshock kind of split, but Call of Duty 4 got more awards for Game of the year they both came out. So.
Huh, okay.
I'm not sure. Wasn't that last year?
Should look that up, I guess.
I think that was last year.
Yeah, Bioshock it was last year?
Okay. Bioshock and it was Call of Duty 4, but.
Didn't Super Mario, Mario Galaxy came out too? Did that not get Game of the Year or a mention or something like that? That came out in 2007. I wonder if that was Game of the Year.
Maybe. I'm not sure when they give the awards out either. If it's November and maybe it came out in December and it didn't get included.
Different companies will do different things, right? Like, who determines?
I don't know who determines it. It's like each publication does their own awards and then there's like a group that does it.
So you're saying. You think?
I think it'll be a toss-up between GTA 4 and Little Big Planet. That will get it. But what I would want for it to win would be Fallout 3.
Yeah, I would want Fallout or Metal Gear 4, but that's biased. I love Metal Gear. But I really do think that Gears of War will get it because it was, not to say that it was more highly anticipated, but a lot of things that I've read say it accomplished its goal more, which I'm not sure what that means. I don't. Yeah.
So you would call this a game of the gear?
But no.
I was just accidentally somebody typing that into my to my iPod. Uh-oh. I can't type the word year at the moment.
Oh, but I completely forgot about Metal Gear Solid 4.
You need to leave my presence.
What's wrong with
Game
you?
GameSpy Game of the Year, 07.
Yeah, I don't even know how you get nominated and like who decides that.
Yeah, I don't.
Is it
have
sales?
I'll
is
be
it reception?
Following it closely this year in 08.
Because like, GameSpot, one year they had Indigo Prophecy on there.
Yeah.
Even though it had like a lower review than like 100 other games they reviewed, and same with Beyond Good and Evil, which is a really good game, but like the score they gave it compared to other games, like how did that get game like nominated for Game of the Year? I don't understand, but.
So I looked it up, and it was 3 was Mario Galaxy, 2 was, I forgot,
Bioshock,
and 1 was Call of Duty 4, and that's from GameSpy. I don't know if that's the official.
There's a group. There's like conference of developers who hand out their own awards or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So we're talking overall Game of the Year. You're saying you want it to be Fallout 3?
Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a little big.
You haven't even finished Fallout 3.
Like playing.
What if the end like ticks you off? What if you're like, man, what a failure?
You have to look
at the ending.
That kind of thing, though.
Make the game.
I think. Yeah, exactly. I agree with Matt.
It could suck, but whatever. It's still a good game.
And you said, Mike.
I think that it will probably be Gears of War 2. But I want it to be Fallout or Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
Do you want to weigh in, Mike Keys?
I already know what he's going to say.
Dr. Captain Keys.
Yes.
Expansions don't count.
Oh, that's what I was going to mention.
Actually, I don't know.
The thing
we're
talking about, I would say, is...
Wrath of the Lich King sold like millions. Does anybody know the number offhand? It was like... It was not 10 million. It was like a nauseating amount of millions in the first day. Mm-hmm. First day it sold, you know, I don't know, frighteningly high amounts of copies.
There's a lot of players.
There's over 10 million players.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. So I think if Wrath of the Lich King is capable of being nominated, it will probably, I think it deserves to be up there.
Are the qualifications based on sales, based on reception, based on reviews? I need to know, what are the criteria?
Well, if we're saying, like, basically what it sounds like we're saying is, like, not MMOs. Because WoW is sort of in its own world.
It got Game of the Year.
Did it?
WoW did.
World of Warcraft? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure everybody who plays World of Warcraft would happily say that Wrath of the Lich King would be Game of the Year.
I play. I voted differently.
That's true.
I wouldn't say it's Game of the Year, because it's something like... the expansion is something that, as far as new players go, it's not going to bring any new players into the game. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like
bring
for people to get the expansion, if you've never played WoW before, there's no point in getting the expansion. I mean,
but it may bring new people to WoW who have never played WoW before, in saying like their new marketing will occur. Obviously, the expansion is intended for higher level players.
Yeah,
but it still may draw people into WoW, like saying, "Oh, this game is still being iterated upon, mm-hmm. and you know, my friends are all playing it. I guess it's time to start now."
Yeah,
that actually happened with Wrath of the Lich King. A couple of guys in my house, actually, I ran into them at the midnight sale when we were there. They were like, "Oh yeah, I can't wait to go start playing. I'm going to make a character on this person's account just to play it out for a while, and then I'm going to buy my own."
Huh?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Surprising.
I'm sure it's going to draw a lot. I mean, obviously, the expansion is not intended for new players, but I think it still is going to draw new people to it.
We'll just keep on trying till we run out of cake.
You know the song, and you haven't even played the game.
Yeah, I played a game, don't even know the song.
Do you play it on Rock Band?
Yeah, I did play it on Rock Band.
Really?
I was pretty excited.
It's on Rock Band?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like the only reason I'd want to play.
So is I Am Murloc.
I haven't played
it. Murloc!
Haven't done that one, though. I do like the Still Alive, though.
It is a good
Hysterical.
John Colton is good. He's a very enjoyable singer.
Very fun.
Yeah. I would say that Game of the Year might go to Braid.
That's kind of it's kind of an underdog.
It is, and I think the fact that it is a little bit too arrogant and niche that it won't be received as such, but I would really like to see it go as Game of the Year.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one for people to nominate.
I think I agree.
It's a download for only Xbox 360, and since it's just a little game you can play. I
mean, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's one console only. It's very niche in how it's been marketed. And
Soulja Boy hates it.
No, he doesn't. He loves it.
Really?
Yeah, man.
He was cussing and just pointing at the screen.
Yeah, I really could understand him. I'm going to be honest.
Maybe he did hate it. I don't know.
He said to play it if you like to get drunk.
Well.
And high, I think, also.
If you like to get, what does he say? If you like to get drunk on beer and high on weed or something. Just the way he phrased it was funny. Yeah. But I'd like to see it be Braid. Mainly because of the underlying commentary of Braid that I've heard a really good interpretation of the underlying meaning of Braid by again Sean Elliott. He's had probably the most insightful interpretation of the game, and based on that alone, I would really like to see that game be nominated. I don't think it'll win.
What do you think will win?
Oh, it'll be like Gears of War 2 or I would like to see Metal Gear 4 get it, but it won't. It could be GTA 4. Could be Little Big Planet. Probably not Little Big Planet, though. I'm going to say Gears of War 2. January and February are kind of a blur to me. I don't know if anything really important came out in that time.
I don't know either.
Raptor Safari came out this year. Give it to Raptor Safari.
I would go for that. I played it for 10 minutes. The replay value is outstanding.
Oh, yes. Give it A+.
Yeah. 4 out of 5 green bean casseroles.
Bones.
Yeah.
And then I think let's talk about what is the most anticipated game of 2009 everybody's looking forward to.
Lord.
I can only think of two games.
For me, it's easy. Resident Evil 5.
Yeah. I've got friggin' Final Fantasy.
Okay, you're assuming that Final Fantasy 13 will be coming out in 2009.
That's true. I'm making an assumption. I want it so badly. Square Enix, please.
Well, the demo's coming out in March.
Well, great.
So,
Right while I'm in the middle of my RE5 rampage.
March, yeah.
I only know like 3 games are coming out, like Hard Rain, Infamous.
I forgot Hard Rain. Oh my gosh. Oh, maybe.
RE5, so.
Well, the thing is, though, Hard Rain for me,
Did you say Resident
might like
Party 5?
Resident Evil. I don't know. We'll check back.
Resident Party 5.
Yeah. That's Party with Zombies, you know?
Oh, I was thinking like residents, like old people. Maybe not.
Or doctors.
Fledgling doctors.
Chris is like, I can't get out of here. All these old
people. Anyway, sorry.
All these old people.
Like I was saying, Hard Rain, I don't know. Based on what's been said about Resident Evil 5, that it's supposed to be Resident Evil 4 plus 1. Like, it is the game, just more of Resident Evil 4. I'm sold. That's all I need to
add. That was enough for me.
Win Game of the Year.
What's that?
Next year, I think that will win.
Calling it already.
If it's RE4 plus 1, it's going to win.
Wow. You're going to call it already?
Have you seen it?
Matt is done with 08. He has moved on to 09.
To March of 09, even.
Matt knows. Game of the Year 09. Resident Evil 5.
It's going to be
okay, put it on the board.
I think RE4 got Game of the Year when it came out, like 2-3 years ago.
I don't remember,
but
it's
gonna be really good.
I expect to like it, based on the fact that it's supposed to be 4, like
on a huge scale.
New game plus 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's so racist.
I love racism, though. So
I will slap you in the mouth.
The rest of us do not.
Old Source Podcast does not promote racism.
Don't racism.
I mean, racism. No, you heard me. I just hate humans.
Oh, okay.
Totally cyborg.
Children, pump him up.
Children, pump me up!
There it is.
Does anybody else want to make a prediction for 09?
Mostly.
They come at night, mostly.
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 Mostly. Well, butt pirates.
Should we call it Should we call the game?
Let's do it.
All right. The end of Alt Source Podcast episode. I don't even know what we're on. What is this?
43, I think.
43? Yeah. I think we're actually close to 9 or 10, maybe.
I think this is 10.
I think it is. It's either.
Are we double digits now?
Oh, I just nailed that tree.
Maybe we should celebrate.
We should.
Party.
If it is 10. If it's 9, then we just won't.
Yeah. So we'll verify.
Yeah, because we all know the association with 9 and how bad that is.
How bad things in 9 are.
Don't do this to me. He's ganging up on me.
If it is 9, we're just going to have like really crappy art direction. And maybe nine, one of us will have a tail. I'm an annoying, angsty thief.
We could just go back to 8. Be happy there.
Yeah.
It was like great.
This would be perpetually.
I kind of, I don't know. That was a little different.
Stop. End of podcast.
Over. Seacrest out.
Nine sucks and you gotta live with it.